Dez was someone who avoided any form of acclaim and was always skeptical about any form of cheap popularity. He chose to march to the beat of a different drum. His was an independent voice, always seeking to draw attention to the concerns of the voiceless. He stood out for those who were often overlooked and whom he felt were deeply disadvantaged in our society. And he did so with great courage and determination, sometimes dividing opinion, and at times being dismissed as merely another discordant voice. When speaking to you a few days ago, I shared with you two words that for me gave summation to his life. I said he was a man of passionate intensity. He always gave the very best of himself, doing so selflessly, tirelessly, and with great generosity of spirit. So today, as we join with you in prayer and thanksgiving for the gift of Des's life, we have so much to be grateful for, so many elements of his life to ponder on, so much to admire and to be inspired by. Each of our lives tends to be shaped and molded by a wide variety of experiences or influences. And as we look back, it is sometimes difficult for us to see an overall coherent pattern in the way our individual life story may have unfolded. One thing we can say with certainty about that: he packed an awful lot into the span of years that he was given on this earth. He wore many hats: teacher, local historian, author, counselor, trade union activist, farmer, Gaelgeor Jim Cain Scout, choir member, Golden Age member, and so much more besides. But no label that he could apply, no designation we can give him, could ever possibly capture fully the true essence of who he was or what he so passionately believed in. He had that great sense of being an independent spirit as he wholeheartedly embraced life. Above all, he was a deeply committed family man and knew his family were central to his life. Like any parent, he only wanted the very best for you. He was also a proud grandfather. And over the past 2.5 years, as I chatted to him on numerous occasions, he was trying to come to terms and cope as best he could and to mourn the loss of his beloved wife, Myra, the woman who was a solid, steady influence and an unwavering supportive presence in his life always. The writer of our first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes had a very deep and rich appreciation of the precious gift of time. He also reassures us that in the overall scheme of things, everyone and everything has its place in this world of ours. There is a season for everything, a time for every occupation under heaven, a time for giving birth, time for mourning, a time for dancing, a time for keeping silent, and a time for speaking out. All that God does is apt for his time. If I were to become somewhat philosophical, I can unhesitatingly say that death fully embraced and was personally enriched by those contrary experiences outlined for us by the writer of that wonderful piece of scripture. And is that not the unfolding story in all our lives? The laughter and the tears, the happy and not so happy times, the successes and the failures, the unbounded joy at the birth of a newborn, and the sometimes unbearable pain at the loss of a dearly loved one. The rich tapestry of our lives is never seamless, for there are often many loops and disconnecting threads. St. Paul in our second reading reminds us of our fragility and of our frailty. We are only the earthenware jars that hold this great treasure within. To make it sure that an overwhelming, such an overwhelming power comes from God and not from us. God has given each one of us a great treasure. The treasure of our dignity, our worth, our inner beauty as persons. But we also carry this treasure in bodies that are indeed fragile vessels. Thankfully, we are all imbued with an indomitable spirit, which somehow remains untouched by the ravages of disease or aging, or the accumulation